Billy Carson has finally been confronted about his blatant lies against Christianity, and he is not happy about it.
There's going to be obstacles. I just had an obstacle thrown at me yesterday. Some crazy crap happened from somebody that I really thought was a close friend. And this person did some diabolical backstabbing stuff just yesterday.
The diabolical backstabbing stuff that Billy is experiencing is that this man, Anton Wibiski, his old friend, recently got Billy on a podcast where he finally had to make his outlandish claims in front of someone who can actually fact check what Billy says, and that person is Wes Huff. Now, you would think that Billy would welcome this type of debate with open arms because he's said on multiple occasions he's one of the leading investigators into this type of ancient history.
Guess what, guys? I'm one of the foremost world leader in the knowledge on ancient texts and tablets, scriptures, papyrus, and cylinders.
But as we'll see, Billy Carson doesn't actually know what he's talking about when it comes to these ancient texts and the Bible. And he's gone so far as to trying to sue Wes Huff for posting clips of the debate where Billy Carson's lies about Christianity completely fell apart. Billy Carson has been referencing the Sinai Bible for years to try to discount Christianity.
Never got crucified. As a matter of fact, the Sinai Bible.
Jesus was crucified.
Well, that doesn't exist in the Sinai Bible.
The Sinai Bible.
The Sinai Bible.
But then you go to the Sinai Bible.
In the Sinai Bible.
And the Sinai Bible.
According to the Sinai Bible, Jesus wasn't crucified in that Bible.
Probably the biggest lie that Billy got caught in during this debate was once again referencing the Sinai Bible and claiming that it doesn't say anything about Jesus's crucifixion.
According to the Sinai Bible, Jesus wasn't crucified in that Bible.
Do you mind if I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
When you say the Sinai Bible, what are you referring to specifically? Refer to the Sinai Bible, would you be referring to Codex Sinaiticus? Like the codex that comes... Okay, that's why I was trying to get some clarification, because I have a facsimile. So I have a photocopy of Codex Sinaiticus that I work with in my office. So I have it here. And the only reason I ask for clarification is because Sinaiticus in particular is just a 4th century Greek manuscript. Its text of the Gospels reads almost identical to the modern Greek text that we develop translations from. When you say that it denies the crucifixion or that the crucifixion isn't there, I can go on right now Codex Sinaiticus and I can look up Matthew 27. Where it has Jesus being crucified, and that's in Codex Sinaiticus, or John 19, or any of the other ones. So my confusion is that it doesn't read any differently.
Where was that piece discovered?
I found the text where I was referencing, actually. I was misquoted. I misquoted it there. It's the Gospel of Barnabas.
When Billy gets confronted with the actual truth about what these texts say in comparison to the Bible, Billy has to deflect to the Gospel of Barnabas, or the Gospel of Jesus's wife, and praise God that Wes is well informed on these as well, and Billy's only response is to once again have to deflect to try to change the subject to the Old Testament.
They discovered the book of Jesus' wife, which is at the Harvard Seminary. A little controversial, but they claim that this is an accurate record that Jesus may have even been married, which then that's true. It adds more to the hypothesis that maybe he wasn't crucified.
So the Gospel of Jesus' wife is in the Harvard Library. However, the reason we know it's also not legitimate is because even though the manuscript, the papyrus that it's on, was carbon dated to the 4th century, the text was actually copied from a PDF version of the Gospel of Thomas known as Grandin's Interlinear. And there was a mistake in the Coptic text of Grandin's Interlinear that was copied into the Gospel of Jesus' wife. We can tie it directly to not copying from an ancient text, but actually copying from an online version of the Gospel of Thomas in a PDF form. I think we need to make sure that we're going toward not just early sources, but actually credible sources. And unfortunately, neither the Gospel of Barnabas nor the Gospel of Jesus' wife are credible sources and agreed upon by not just the vast majority of scholarship, but I don't know anybody in the field of papyrology, paleography, historiography who actually refers to these documents as being legitimate.
That's fair enough. I can respect that. So let's go into the Old Testament a little bit.
When Billy gets caught in his lies during this debate, His only response is to either admit he was wrong.
That's fair enough. I can respect that.
Where was that piece discovered?
I found the text where I was referencing. Actually, I was misquoted. I misquoted it there. It's the Gospel of Barnabas.
Or to try and deflect the conversation.
So let's go into the Old Testament a little bit.
But after the podcast, Billy has taken it to a whole nother level, trying to actually sue Wes for talking about the podcast and posting clips from it.
Billy Carson is attempting to sue me. For those of you who don't know, I was invited to interact with Billy on a podcast that he agreed to come on. It was not his podcast, where he was notified beforehand who I was and what we'd be talking about. After that debate took place, Billy attempted to suppress the footage. That didn't really work. I've released clips from that conversation. Well, Billy does not want you to see those clips and has sent me a cease and desist letter. I was really hoping that this could be an opportunity for Billy to learn, to see the major errors that he's been repeating and turn this into a learning experience. I even offered to follow up with Billy in order to show him how and where he could find accurate and credible resources in order to make sure that what he was saying was verifiably correct going forward in the future, so he and his audience could learn and proceed knowledgeably. Billy did not agree. But unfortunately for Billy, agreeing to a debate, losing that debate, and feeling embarrassed about that loss does not constitute legitimate grounds to litigate.
So this is how Billy responds when his credibility is finally challenged and he's shown to be a liar. He'll show up at your front door with cease and desist papers, trying to get you to stop showing clips of a debate you agreed to, where the clips actually show that you really don't know that much about what you're talking about.
So Billy, bro, was it diabolical or is what you're doing diabolical?
But at the same time, my mind went right into solutions mode. What's the solution to this problem and how can I do it? How can I take care of this situation?
The solution is to pretend you're a lawyer and knock at my client's door at 2:30 in the morning.
How can I take care of this situation, which I've already worked on last night while it happened?
This is a far cry from what we've seen of Billy say publicly, where he claims to be the harbinger of truth and that he's so wise that people don't even want to debate him.
You're open to debating anybody?
I'm open, yeah.
Okay, so if we set up anything with anyone else that's maybe expert in the area of topic that you know, you're okay with a panel like that?
Oh, yeah. My research and investigation is second to none. I'll stand by my research and investigation against anyone.
Obviously, this isn't the case, because Wes would like to have another public debate with Billy, but instead of agreeing to it, Billy sends him cease and desist papers.
Billy, I will agree to all the terms and conditions of the cease and desist letter that you have sent me if you agree to run it back, sit down with me in person, and have another discussion. This is my formal response.
It turns out the only forbidden knowledge in Billy Carson's world is when that knowledge confronts his lies about Christianity and the ancient world. Now, there's two other important things that I think should be pointed out here for people who actually still believe that Billy Carson knows what he's talking about. The first is this red flag that Billy used to actually claim that he was 70 years old and probably looked so good because of some sort of ancient knowledge he learned. I guess Billy has gone to great lengths to delete all the videos and posts where he said this, but his once close friend Anton validates that he did say this and shows some evidence to support it. And again, I think it's important to showcase this because it just goes to show that Billy Carson isn't always in the right state of mind.
Billy Carson, to my face, told me and my ex-girlfriend that he was 70 years old. Billy has gone above and beyond to delete all of the Instagram lives that used to be on his page where he would say things like this. I cannot find them. He's deleted them. But I did find a couple comments. I'll just share one of them here with you, where clearly one of his followers heard the same exact thing.
Well, check it out. Somebody says, "You're 64? Question mark. I find this incredibly interesting. Just wait. I remember for sure I saw it on Google, because when he told me, I couldn't believe him, so I looked it up. And I'm not the only one who found it on Google." Right here. Boom. "According to Google, he's 64 years old. There are multiple people on his own page that say these same things." So are we all just making something up, or did he actually spew this lie?
Lastly, it's really important that we highlight that one of the main things that Billy Carson stands on to spread his beliefs and ideologies is one of the most well-known fakes and forgeries in modern archaeology. I've gone in depth exposing this lie before on one of the videos on my channel, and it's the claim that a lot of the most important teachings in the world, including everything that Jesus taught, was actually first written in the ancient tablet known as the Emerald Tablet of Thoth the Atlantean. You can see Billy's book, The Beginner's Guide to Understanding this Ancient Tablet of Thoth the Atlantean, on the table while he's being interviewed by Patrick Bet David.
My research and investigation is second to none. I'll stand by my research and investigation against anyone.
Again, this is very well known that this Emerald Tablet of Thoth the Atlantean doesn't exist. There's no evidence of it anywhere to be found. It was created by Maurice Doriel, a car salesman and failed science fiction writer from Colorado, who claimed to find this tablet and be the only one who was ever able to read it or transcribe it. You can watch my full video exposing this very obvious lie in the description, or here is a short video from Wes exposing it as well.
Bible, you discover he's born of a virgin birth. When you read the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, you discover that he talks about he developed the ability to incarnate at will on and in any plane that he desires. I've just done the work. I've read so much information, and I've been able to put together so many dots.
You didn't come up with this. You read this from somewhere. What did you read that told you this?
The Gospel of the Holy Twelve.
The Emerald Tablets of Thoth don't exist. In 1925, a man named Maurice Doriel claimed to have gone to the Great Pyramids in Giza and discovered an artifact that he called the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. And then he produced a translation of the said document. But Doriel never actually produced any evidence of any tablets, merely told people he did. Sure, you can go on Amazon and buy a supposed translation of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, but you're just reading what Doriel made up. No archaeologist or Egyptologist today thinks there is any artifact called the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. The Gospel of the Holy Twelve is also a forged document.
I really hope and pray that this experience will wake Billy up to the ultimate truth that the Bible is real and Jesus Christ is our only salvation, and that following him and accepting him is the only source of information that truly matters in this world. I pray that Billy Carson will be awakened to this truth in Jesus' name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.